It's good to say thanks to the Lord, and to do it in song like that is so good. And when the words of the songs are rich in theology and teach us who God is and what he's done, it's so important for our lives. So it does bring me to a place this morning. If you have a Bible, now you know we've been preaching through Colossians, and I'll pick that up again in a couple of weeks, finish it off. But I had a couple of verses here this week that God kind of directed me to and wanted me to preach. And now with the song selection by Pastor Jared, I kind of know why. So Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn there on your hard copies or your mobile devices, or if you've memorized scripture and you know Philippians by heart, you can turn that into pages of your mind. But Philippians chapter 2 and these, I hope, famous words for you in verses, starting in verse 8. I'm going to go to verse 11. Verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Oh, folks, did you hear that? Let me hear another amen. Oh, God. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Folks, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Love these verses. They get me excited. You know, it tells me that it doesn't matter the hardest heart or the greatest sinner or the person who's rejected Christ. It doesn't matter in a sense of where we find ourselves in those conditions. The fact is that every one of us at some point, and hopefully not before it's too late, when we see Jesus face to face, but that every one of us will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And we'll confess it, but we'll also bow down to him. It's a great reminder for us. But being found in appearance as a man, and I just can't get over the Advent nativity type season. God in the flesh came as a baby to this earth. And he came in that manger in a lowly fashion. But God's Son himself came to this planet. That's incredible. I mean, try to fathom that plan out. You know, I can't redeem them anyway, but that I would come down in the flesh and that I would demonstrate my love in that time on earth, those 30-some years, and I would show people what it is to know God, to know my Father, and then I would lay down my life as a ransom for them. We sang that so wonderfully this morning. Jesus has ransomed us. Come to this earth. He humbled himself. And being found in the appearance as a man, Emmanuel, God with us. Now we know Jesus has left the earth. And we know Jesus is at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us. We also know that God, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is with us and resides in us and dwells with us and literally is here and with us and in our lives. What a beautiful thing that God wouldn't leave us alone. Jesus says, hey, guess what? I got to leave. But I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to have somebody come from heaven, that third person, and he's going to bring you comfort. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to love you and help you in your life. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus had great humility. He had the Godhead. He was in heaven, and he humbled himself, came down in the form of a baby, form as a man, came to this earth, came off of his throne, and came here to be with us. And he humbled himself to the point of being obedient to his Father's plan for him to give his life on a cross so that all of us could live. Folks, I think sometimes we need to grasp that. And that's why I'm glad we sang it over and over this morning, because you picture this, that God, Son, Jesus himself would come to this earth and go on a cross and die for my sin and for your sin. The punishment that was due us, the separation from his Father that was in our lives, and we were no hope. It was hopeless to ever have that relationship with God. And Jesus, God's Son, humbled himself, followed his God's plan, was obedient to his Father, and showed us how to live obedient lives, and he laid down his life, and he took our place. And sometimes, just as like Israel in the Old Testament, when they were grumbling and complaining and in the wilderness, and God brought those snakes upon them, and those vipers bit them, and they were dying and getting sick, and the remedy was putting a cross up and putting a bronze snake up there so people could look at that cross, and if they had been bitten and they were sick, they looked to the cross and saw that the serpent, their sickness was on the cross, and they were healed. And folks, when we know and get to the grasp that we are nothing, we have no hope for eternity without Jesus and without his death on the cross, if we will turn and look to the cross, we will see that our sickness and our guilt and our pain and our suffering and our punishment has been dealt with by Jesus, and we're no longer bound by it if we believe and we confess that he is Lord and that he has done that for my sin, for my life, for my freedom, for my victory, for my eternity. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, and what did we sing this morning? We find life. That word obedience literally means giving ear. Now, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean my mom tells me to clean my room and I come up with options for myself. I decide, well, you know what? She said to clean my room, but really she didn't say when. So I've got a few months to go. So when I'm ready, I'll do it. I'll just sort of finish my game first. I think when a mom tells you to clean your room and you give ear, you're realizing she means probably pretty quick. And we do it. And really this word in the Greek, it's like giving ear. So we give ear to God when he's working in our lives. And we give ear to what he's saying, what the Spirit is saying to us in our life. And we don't just go, okay, well, I've got options to deal with this. We basically say that God's Spirit is speaking to me. He's asking me to do this or to go here or to remove this from my life or to adapt this and become like Christ. He's telling me to do that. So by giving ear, I'm not only giving ear and attention and hearing the Spirit, I'm actually following through and I'm being obedient to the Spirit of God working in my life. And Jesus was obedient to his Father. You remember the agony of Gethsemane when he said, God, if you could only, this cup could pass, and yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes in our life, we get to those places, those cross sections and those moments of decision. When we know we ought to go one way, we know the Spirit's saying that, but we try to justify it a different way. And we have that moment of battle. And that's the moment of the cross where we can say, I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to bear it daily because I'm going to follow what I believe the Spirit of God is saying and not what my flesh is telling me to do. Obedience. Jesus was obedient to the point of dying on the cross for our sin. The crucifixion was, of course, the cruelest death. It was widely practiced by the Romans, and it's recorded in early historians that in the first century of Palestine, mostly against rebellions against Rome, but literally thousands of people were crucified. And there are stories of Roman soldiers cruelly playing with different postures for crucified victims, though the use of nails and a crossbar that you would have seen in Jesus appear to be very common in how it was used. Modern medical explanations for the cause of death on a cross have focused on asphyxiation or shock. So when Jesus hung, the body sags and trying to get breath. When you're that thing, that your stomach and thing, where you try to breathe? Yeah, that thing. It collapses on them, and they have to try to lift themselves in order to breathe. It's So it's very excruciating. But crucifixion, more than just a physical pain, was a public shaming. It was to bring shame and to show that this person was a criminal and was being judged. You know, Jesus, when he hung on the cross in this excruciating, physical, painful experience, that it was just the combination of what he'd already endured with the stripes and with the whipping and the crown of thorns and all the things that took place. But he was also mocked and shamed and degraded and publicly humiliated. All for us. And I hope that every time we sing a song about Jesus dying on the cross, and every time we take communion, and every time I read about it in the Bible, I hope it doesn't become so familiar to me that I lose sight of the agony and the pain and the suffering and the humiliation that Jesus took upon himself for my sin. I hope that it's fresh and new every morning. Let me just insert a little thought here. Jesus wasn't only crucified on the cross, but Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered death, and he did it for us. You know, we are saved through his cross and believing and confessing our sins and knowing that our sins are dealt with, but we are giving eternal life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he rose out of that tomb. You know, you historians will remember the Battle of Waterloo. And in that battle, this great battle, the people in London were waiting for news of the battle. And in those days, you didn't have, like, your cell phones and, you know, updated videos of what was going on in the battle. They had what was called semaphore kind of signals where you went up high on a tower or a mountaintop and you used flags or lights and kind of a Morse code kind of thing to send messages. And in this particular battle, they were waiting for this thing, and some gathered on Winchester Cathedral to see signs or word of the battle. And in that moment of cathedral in the morning, there was a message that was sent to them, and they saw from there, and it literally said, "Wellington defeated." And then the fog rolled in. Their general had been defeated, and the people were in agony and sorrow and distress throughout the day, knowing that they had lost this battle and their great general was defeated. And in the middle of it, later on in the afternoon, the fog lifted and they went up again and they saw a message again being relayed. And the message was, "Wellington defeated the enemy." They didn't get the whole message, and their gloom began to change to glory because their general had won. And yeah, the death on the cross and Jesus being buried is painful and agony. But Jesus rose from the dead, and our gloom is glory. It's exciting to know that we can get up in the morning and we can put on a happy face. God is risen. We need the whole message. We need to know the cross. But we need to know the resurrection. And we need to know that Jesus came out of that tomb and was taken up to be with his Father, and he's in heaven right now. And he is proof that you and I have eternal life. Glory to God. And it's because of this, the Bible says in Philippians 2 that God highly exalted him because Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to his Father. He did his Father's will, and God highly exalted him. The word there really means super exalted. It's not just like exalted. It's super exalted, beyond measure. You see, Jesus has been placed in a place that is above everything. Every person, every doctrine and theology and life and planet and stars and all of it. He is above it all. Nothing stands above him. That's because God, his Father, has given him that place of authority and that place of glory. And he's been given a name which is above every name. What about that name? That bread of life. Oh, when you're thirsty and hungry, you know, when you're something inside just isn't satisfied, Jesus is the bread of life. He's living water. He takes away the thirst of eternity, because when we get him and we drink from him, we no longer have that void in our life. He's our deliverer when you're in a corner to call upon the name of the Lord. He's our way, our truth, our life. He is light. He's the mighty one. He is powerful. He's the Messiah, the Savior. He is peace. Oh, and we need peace, don't we? We get anxious and fearful, and we got all this stuff. And we need God's peace to come upon us. And when we look to Jesus, he's our peace. He's our Redeemer. He's our rock. He's our shield. He's our fortress. He's our strong tower. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's all-inclusive. I'll be going on an all-inclusive vacation soon. And boy, I'm looking forward to that. I get to eat whatever I want. You know, I get to make my own schedule, even with my wife there. Right? You know, there's nothing in your life. There's nothing in my life. There's nothing we go through. There's no season of life where Jesus isn't sufficient and all sufficient for your life and for my life. There's nothing that happens to us where he can't be with us and help us and guide us and bring hope. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our cornerstone. You know, you take a building metaphor for architecture to show relationship of Jesus to his church and to the believer. Cornerstone controls the design of a structure. A designer can take the cornerstone and from there construct a plan and a balance for the building. And Christ as the cornerstone, and described as the chief cornerstone, can control the direction and the design of our lives if we allow him to be the cornerstone, the foundation, the starting point of our life. You know, one definition in the dictionary is that what is a cornerstone is that stone in the corner that builds two walls together, unites two walls. And when we have Jesus as the cornerstone of our heart and our life, he unites our life and brings some symmetry and this cohesion to our lives that we wouldn't have without him. And he helps make all the parts of our life contribute to the whole. Ephesians 2 tells us, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You see, Jesus is building our lives to fit into the whole, and we're a community, a group of believers being built up into a structure to honor God and bring him glory. I want to repeat Philippians 2 again to you, verses 8 to 11. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Can I ask you today, in your life, have you believed in Jesus? Have you confessed your sin? Have you given your life to him? Have you surrendered to him? Have you bowed your knees and your heart to him and confessed with your mouth that he's Lord? And if you have done that in your life, can I ask you this morning, just as we sort of wrap up in an altar time here, can you just acknowledge again with Jesus how much you love him and how grateful you are to him. And just recognize again a commitment in your heart and in your life to say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And I honor you today for that. If you're in the building today and you've never come to that place of decision where you have known that Jesus hung on a cross for your sin and died in your place. See, the Bible tells us that we all sinned. None of us has an excuse. You know, sin separated us from God the Father. There's this big chasm that nobody can fill. You can't jump over it. You can't do anything to maneuver your way around it. There's no plan to get over there. There's no road to get over there. And the only way we could be redeemed in relationship to the Father was that Jesus would die on a cross and literally become a bridge between God the Father and us. So the Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and you confess with your mouth, that's how you get saved. So if you're here today, you know, it's all about faith, believing in something we can't see. It's the message God gave us, the Bible, so we'd know. You know, if you're here today and you've never acknowledged that, can I ask you to consider in the next few moments just that thought, do I believe that I'm a sinner? Do I believe that Jesus came down, God's Son, and died on a cross to become the bridge so that I could look to him and believe and confess my sin? Have God heal my sin, deliver me from my sin, give me new hope in life. And will I acknowledge that today? And will I take a step of faith and say, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm willing to take out a step of faith and believe. Are you here today and you've never done that and you'd be willing to do that today? I'm just going to ask you as I pray this morning that you just say a simple prayer as if you were talking to a friend. And just say, God, that's me. And I confess that I am a sinner. And I never realized even maybe I needed my sin dealt with. But today I'm asking you to forgive my sin. Jesus already did the work on the cross. So that's all you have to do. And then just trust God to lead your life. So Jesus, in this room today, there are those of us who have come upon this truth and known, Jesus, that you humbled yourself and came to this planet and gave your life for our sin. You are the only remedy, the only way we can deal with our sin and have relationship with God the Father. And so I'm asking you, God, this morning, if we've acknowledged that in our heart, that God, you would just help us to affirm our commitment to Christ. And God, would you help those in the room who maybe have never come to this place before, never been asked these questions? And I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit right now would just illuminate their understanding and bring them to that place of being yielded before you. Those of you that are in the room and you've never done that, I just feel led to say again that God loves you. For God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take a few moments for commitment. And a few moments to consider giving our life to Christ. Praise your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise you, Jesus. If you're in the room and you prayed and asked God to forgive your sins, sure love to know about it. And after the service, if you wouldn't mind just sort of wrangling me, or if you came with somebody, letting them know. We'd love to just sort of encourage you and kind of give you a direction on how to know Christ and sort of figure things out a bit better. So we'd love for you to do that. And don't want to just leave you stranded. It's important to get grounded and know God. If you're in the room today and you'd really like to know God more, like you'd really like to know Jesus better and grow in your life, I wonder if you'd stand. I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you would like to, you just have that desire in your heart this morning to know Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I want you to know as your pastor that that's my heart's desire right now, that I would know Jesus more. So God, around this room, you see these folks. And God, you know the desire of their heart, and you know, Spirit, what you've been doing and working in their life. So Jesus, I'm asking you by your Spirit that you would just stir up a fresh hunger and thirst within our hearts and our spirits and in our minds. And that God, as we would go after your word, that the word of God would not just be a book, but it would leap out at us as the Holy Spirit shows us who you are in a deeper way. And that as we begin to understand and know you more fully, that God, that passion and that just joy would leap up in our spirit. And God, we too would humble ourselves, and we too would be fine to be faithful and obedient to the work of the Spirit in our life as he gives us Jesus more fully. So I pray for great discernment and understanding for each of them. I pray, God, that they would be able to know the mysteries of the gospel in its simplicity. And that in all of it, the goal, God, that we would fall more in love with Jesus. So we thank you, God, and we bless you and we honor you. What a good God we have. Do you love Jesus, folks? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.